5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are for kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. We are your hosts, Barry and Crystal Ricks.
Back again after a week, two-week break. We skipped last week.
It was just one of those, it was a rough week, and we're in the process of, you know, purchasing a home and figuring all that out, and it was just the end of a long week, and let's talk about our crazy circus.
It's time for the stories of the week.
So, stories of the week. We're buying a house.
Okay, stories of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so we're in the process of buying a house. And so we're dealing with all the paperwork, and we're figuring out, and we bought a fixer-upper. Here's the thing. So now we're trying to figure out what the flooring we want, the colors we want, the thingies and the bobbies and the whatnot.
And the paint swatches
that have taken over our table. And so that's been a lot of our time, our free time has been bent on that.
Right.
So, but, of course, we have four kids.
But last week wasn't really about the house. It was about, we have a child who has a mystery health issue.
We've talked about it on the show before.
No, I don't think we've ever mentioned it. I think you mentioned it, and I said I didn't want to mention it. Anyway, one of our kids has seizures.
Oh, now we're just dropping it down now, huh?
Well, we're putting it in our Christmas song, so we might as well.
That's right.
So. Anyway, so we've been trying to figure out, get to the bottom of this. We haven't had any answers for over a year. And so last week, we finally got to go
to a pediatric neurologist.
Yeah, and get answers. So really, all of last week was going to our regular doctor to get some tests and get all the stuff, and then we had to drive to Texas and
get more tests.
Yeah, so I mean, that really was our week. By the end of the week, I was like, I don't really want to talk about this.
We're just burnt out.
Yeah, it was great. It was
a positive experience because we finally did get some answers and found out that it's a very common type of seizures that she has, and so it's going to, eventually, the doctor says, eventually she's going to grow out of it.
Right.
Which was nice to hear. And he said, but that could be, you know, the last time she had a seizure could be the last time, or she'd be having her seizures for still a while more. So, we're going to put her on some medicine now. And so, I think it'll be a good experience for us.
So, that was last week.
Now,
this week, we're buying a house.
Yes. Well, we were buying a house last week, too. But
I know, but this week it's real.
It's real, because we, like, close in a couple days.
Yeah. I don't want to live in a brown house anymore, so I've been really obsessed over picking the right color.
It's true. But every single room in this house is
the
brown.
Same brown.
It's the same brown.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
We're in a rental, so.
But my mind can't wrap around these, like, shades of colors on the same thing, so I've cut out every little swatch on paint swatches, so I have just dozens and dozens of little cutout squares all over a table, and I can't do it. I quit. We're just gonna leave it white and call it good.
She won't just let me pick the colors.
That's because I don't trust you,
and I pick purdy colors. So
says the guy who asked if we could paint a Mario mural on our back fence.
Yeah. That would be epic, and everyone would love it.
Oh, great resale value.
That's, yeah, totally. So, yeah, so we're doing a lot of that, and I was trying to think, like, what have I done with the kids this week? And we've just been so busy with the house.
To the doctor.
But I have done more this week with the boys in the aspect of playing video games with them. So... No, hear me out. So
I'm hearing
a lot of times, you know, the boys are just playing, and it's usually at a just a time where Crystal and I just want to sit and relax, or, you know, it's either at the end of the day or at the end of something. We're just like, we just need to relax for a little bit, and the boys are playing. But this week, you know, I made an effort that when I was asked to play, that I went and played. And then the girls were gone to a birthday party, and the boys were at home, and I was like, I thought to myself, I'm like, I'm going to take this opportunity to have some me time and go play my games. But then I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to, I sat and I played games with my boys, and we ended up having a really fun time. And so, yeah, so.
And they beat you a couple times.
Yeah. Gosh, Grayson, he.
They were so proud to tell me that.
He has a lot more practice on the game than I do, but, He
sure.
he beat me a few times, and a couple times very soundly, and I was just like, I couldn't do anything.
Were you proud of your boy?
Oh, that's right. But now it makes me want to play more, and so I can get my skills honed,
right.
And then I can teach him that I am the master,
not the student.
Not the student. That's right. So yeah, so I've been getting my game on with my boys. So, because our girls aren't really into it. I mean, they'll play every once in a while, but really, they're just outside all the time.
Constantly.
With their girlfriends.
And I'm okay with that.
Of the neighborhood, so. And it's cool. They have a great time.
They're posse.
That's right. So.
The thing that did make me laugh, though, was we were all out in the living room working on something. And all of a sudden, I was like, where's Jackson? And so I'm looking for him, and then I get worried, like, great, he's going to be doing something destructive. And finally, I open the little walk-in closet in our kid's room, and he looks up at me with a sucker in his mouth, and I said, what are you doing? And he just rips the sucker out of his mouth and throws it behind the little chair thing in there, like I didn't see him sucking on it. And I was like, get it off the carpet! And he's just looking at me like, what?
He's like, there's no sucker here.
It was cute. So, I couldn't even get mad. I was like, oh, you're adorable.
He's definitely getting a personality, that one.
And a sweet tooth.
Yeah, like, all he wants is snacks. He doesn't eat real food.
Snack.
He eats...
And cheese?
Cheese and, like, snacks consisting of fruit snacks and, like, crackers.
Cheese puffs.
And cheese puffs.
That's about it.
Cheese puffs, cheese, and fruit snacks. Yeah, our children are healthy.
Yeah, he is.
So, but...
His body is super preserved.
But it's not just, like, any cheese. Like, he just likes cheese sticks and stuff like that. Because we gave him a cheese quesadilla tonight, and he didn't eat it.
He doesn't like bread.
He likes cereal.
But he used to not. Now he does.
Now he digs the cereal.
He digs cereal.
So, he even had just...
chocolate cereal.
No, he had... he ate all his Cheerios the other day.
Okay, fine.
So, yeah, feeding children, it's hard.
You know what else is hard? Birthday gifts.
Yes. Like, what, I want our listeners to tell us, like, what is their method of...
Or budget.
Or, yeah, the budget or method of purchasing gifts for other children's parties.
Right, because our kids got invited to two birthday parties yesterday, and I used to be the kind of mom that thought... Well, we might be the only ones there, so we should spend a lot of money to look good for the parents. But now I've realized that everyone does that same thing, so why should we spend money?
That's right. So where do we go to shop?
Dollar Tree.
The Dollar Tree. But we don't
we
just
made
get
cute gift.
But we
bundles.
Don't just get a single item from the Dollar Tree. We like to do kind of like yesterday we did like a theme type
right.
thing. So for one girl. Birthday party, we found like a rainbow notebook with rainbow lip gloss and a rainbow big huge
sucker.
Lollapalooza sucker and
a balloon
and a rainbow balloon
because Lacey loves balloons.
That's right. And so
she actually asked for a balloon for
Christmas. Technically we spent like $5, but it was all separate items and it was like a cute little basket,
right? And I think those are all things they'd use. Anyway, I want to know, what's your reaction to birthday parties? Do you go all out?
Are you like, ugh, another present that I had to buy someone? Or are you like, yay, let's give someone something?
That's not the reaction I meant. I meant like, do you go all out to spend a lot of money on gifts? Or do you just say, meh, gifts?
Whatever. Here's a gift card.
Anyway, that's really our week. We don't have much because it really has been doctors and housing for weeks and weeks, it feels like.
So, and we make no promises, but if for some reason episodes slip through the crack in the coming weeks with holidays and with us moving into a house and remodeling it, it may happen. So just be forewarned. But we did find an article today that we thought was, it was interesting. We liked it. It's called The Five of the Hardest Things Parents Face, How to Handle the Most Challenging Parenting Issues.
Okay.
So the article just, essentially the author is a social worker of 30 plus years.
And
therapist. Of 30 plus years, specializing working with troubled children and teens.
She's also a mom of one.
But
with her other experience, I'll accept her.
Yeah, so like I said, maybe she only had one child because she's dealing with everyone else's kids. But so it just talked...
Not that one child is bad.
No, sorry.
But I just can't take their opinion for myself who has four because it's totally different.
It's different having one than having four.
But I accept her.
But we still love you, single child parents. So number one, so this is one of the first issue that she hears a lot about is parent the child you have and not the child you wish you had. So essentially, it's just talking about, you know, sometimes your kids have, whether they're emotional issues or actual, you know, mental issues, or that maybe they're just annoying or obnoxious, or maybe they're just different than you are, you know. And we've experienced, I think we can experience a little bit of that with our own kids, where they're not like us. And so sometimes maybe a little hard when they react to things that we're like, why are you reacting to things like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be reacting this way. But that's not the thing. The thing is, you should recognize, find and recognize who your child is, and then understand, learn how to parent them for who they are and not, you know, I want to mold them into the perfect specimen of my choosing type of thing.
Right. And I remember I had a friend a long time ago tell me that she was struggling because she really butt heads with her daughter, who was like five. And I remember thinking, how can you possibly butt heads with the child that you birthed? You know, like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Back in the day before I had children.
And now I'm like, oh, okay. Oh,
okay. That totally makes sense.
I mean, it really, you never know what you're going to get. It's like gambling.
No whammies. Stop!
Exactly. So, I don't know. You think that you're going to be able to shape your kids to exactly what you want, yeah. But... they come with that personality. I don't care what you say.
That's right. So it's, you know, and later on it talks about letting go, but we'll get into that. But, you know, that's kind of relates to this. It's just let go of your perfect image of the child and parent the child you have.
Well, and parent them in the way that they need it.
Yes. Which is what we have talked about previously on other shows is even children have love languages that apply right. to them. So maybe finding out what their love language is and try to cater towards that.
Right. Kind of like I've mentioned this before, but I used to work really hard to do fun arts and crafts things and with my kids because that's what I had always pictured being a mom would be.
Yeah.
Me sitting at the table and crafting with my children. But really, they would much rather me go outside and toss a baseball to them, which is not my favorite thing in the world. But I've had to learn to let go of the arts and craft mom and be baseball throwing mom.
But that
was hard for me. But it still is.
We see that our kids are changing as they get older, too, to their preference of doing things. Like this evening, we actually wrote our Christmas lists up to Santa Claus. And you see the difference between the younger kids and our oldest, who 99% of what his list was like gaming and technology. Mm-hmm. And but that's what his interests are. That's what he really enjoys doing. And so it's just, we're like, oh, well, we talked about it. We're like, oh, well, maybe we need to start tweaking things and being able to, you know, make all our children happy. Why are you looking at me like that?
Where are you going with this?
Just saying.
What does that have to do with parenting the child you have? I'm just wondering.
Because they change.
Oh, okay.
As they get older, they change.
I'm sorry.
And so you have to change with them. Jeez.
Yeah, we have to buy a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, we do. It's number two.
That was on the list, by the way.
Yes,
that's
it
why
was.
I mentioned it. And
it,
I laughed.
It was.
Number two is letting your child experience the pain and discomfort of natural consequences. And I totally believe in this one. Because it's saying, especially in this day and age, we don't want our kids to get hurt emotionally, physically. We want a helicopter all over them. But she's saying you have to let them hurt. You have to let them fall down sometimes. Let them learn from their mistakes.
Because it will be better for them in the future.
Yeah, and she said it's helpful to allow your child to struggle. Change happens out of struggle and in moments of accepting responsibility for your actions.
Because it reminds me, we watched a TV show this week where the child of the parent did something totally inappropriate and spread it around school, and then the child was, the mom found out what was really going on, and that her child had been lying so he could seem popular, and so she was going to oust him and make him suffer the consequences, but then he's like, you know, oh, I'm going to be a loser. Everyone's going to hate me for lying to them and stuff like that. And then, like, the mom, like, basically buckled. It's like, okay, we're not going to let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I would totally let it happen. Be like, this is the consequence of your action. You chose to lie and spread it around the school so everyone believed something that wasn't true that impacted a lot of other people, and you don't want to suffer the consequence because now they won't think you're cool. Well, sorry, that is your consequence.
Right.
Maybe your consequence is that you're going to lose some friends because you chose to lie. So I didn't like that part of that episode of the show, but because I was like, I would have let him suffer and take the heat of it. But eventually he did, because his sister came in and ousted him without realizing she ousted him. And so he did suffer the consequences, but not because of his parent, but because of his sister. So
there was no natural consequence.
Exactly.
Though. But also, another reason why we don't want our kids to have phones.
That's right. You don't need a phone.
Because it happened. Did you mention that it happened during text? It was a text. I don't remember.
No, I just said that. So
it was a text. It was a picture on his phone. So no phones.
That's right. No phones.
And consequences are good.
All right. Number three, facing judgment, shame, and blame from others. So I like how it says a child, if you have a child who acts out or engages in other challenging behaviors, tantruming, yelling, disobeying you, or being annoying and obnoxious, you've probably gotten the look. As we've talked about from Crystal receiving the look.
And you never believe me, but it happened.
It happened the one... Well, you remember? It happened the one time, and I saw the look. So, and you get it from friends, family, and strangers. And
whatever. My friends get me.
And
thank you, friends.
And so, you're just like... what I liked is... she goes on and says, you can't read other people's minds. And I liked how she says, if you try to imagine what others are thinking, 95% of the time, you're going to read something negative there. Because when we're negative, we interpret other people's perceptions of us as negative too. So when we're stressed out and we're just like, we're getting angry or, and, you know, upset at our children, and we look at someone that's looking at us, we are basically mirroring our own thoughts off of that person. Be like, oh, that person's looking at me. Oh, they think I'm an awful person. They think I'm a horrible parent. But we don't know for sure what they're thinking.
It's kind of like, can I cut you off?
Go ahead.
It's kind of like a few weeks ago, we may have touched on this, but we felt like our kids were crazy sauce at church.
Yeah, they're like they're church. Being loud and
was,
awful and crazy.
It was so rough that by the end we were so stressed out and
that we started laughing.
That, but when church was over, when the meeting was over, we started apologizing to everyone around us about how awful our kids were, and all of them were like, "Huh? Like, I didn't notice." Like, what?
What are you talking about?
But in my head, I thought everyone hates us. We are the worst parents ever. Yeah. We can't control our kids,
which is a perfect example. So stop thinking. You know, stop basically your mind from thinking those things. So she says, stop the tape that's playing in your head and move on.
And tell yourself, I can't read minds.
I can't read minds. So
remember that.
So, and it she talks about how we should engage ourselves in positive self-talk rather than being negative. Because if we're positive and we look at other people, more likely we're going to not have those negative emotions come back at us.
Okay, so if my kids are throwing a fit at Walmart because I won't let them take their shoes off and I don't have snacks in my bag, how can I turn that into a positive self-talk?
Be like, I'm a great mother.
Right, that's helpful.
I don't know.
It's got to be something I'd believe in the moment.
So, just talk about, I'm buying food for my children so that they can survive through the winter.
There you go. I like that.
So, I'm helping my children survive even though they're being little turds.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Something like that. All right.
Number four.
Oh,
the title is I Hate You, Mom. Luckily, we haven't heard this
yet. We haven't heard it yet.
We've heard I Don't Like You, but that still hurts.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that I like because she said...
Not the phrase, but...
Oh, yeah. But I like what she said is... That really, your kids will say that because they know it pushes your button, and it basically...
will stop the conversation.
Stops the conversation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes sense. So she's saying that you need to kind of prep yourself not to have the knee-jerk reaction. She said, like, a good thing to do when this happens is to stop, breathe, and respond with, for example, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the fact that you need to do your homework. So kind of gloss over it and just get back into the, not the argument, but the purpose of why you're having this discussion.
Yeah.
And then you can ask yourself, what does my child really need from me right now? If you need some space, give him some space. Or it might be for you to follow through on a consequence you issued. But remember, do not take these words from your kids personally.
That's right. Because they don't really mean it. Like you said, just most of the time it's just because they know they can control the situation by throwing right. that at you. So, there you go. All right, number five.
Did you ever say that to your mom?
I can't think I've ever did.
I know I said it, like, twice.
I remember one thing I said that upset my parents, and it was because we were at Sam's Club or Costco or something like that. And if you've ever been to Sam's Club or Costco and you go down the toy aisle, they always have those big, huge containers full of giant stuffed animals.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a giant big bunny, and I wanted this giant big bunny, and my parents wouldn't get it for me. And we were leaving, and we were walking out to the car, and I remember saying, I wish I was never born! I remember saying that, and I remember my dad and my mom got so like they didn't yell at me or anything, but I could tell immediately that I had hurt their feelings, and then I felt like an awful person. Like, right away, I'm like, oh, I'm a big jerk.
Oh, so, over a bunny.
Over a giant bunny.
Yeah, see? It's not personal.
It's not personal. It's just, you know, you're irrational.
Right. I don't remember specifics, but I do remember saying it to my mom. Notice there's no dad in there. I'm sure right? I told it to my dad a lot, but I love you, parents.
That's right. We love you.
Don't take it personal.
All right. Number five, letting go.
Letting go.
No.
It had to happen.
Yeah, whatever. So essentially this little is just talking about how your children are going to grow up, and naturally the process of life is that your children are going to drift away from you. Now, in the aspect that eventually they're going to get older, they're going to spend less time with you, and they're going to move out eventually. But there's steps that lead up to that, but that we should be prepared to let go, because It becomes extremely important as a parent to be able to disconnect from the emotional response I just totally messed up.
Where did you go?
I don't know where I went. But as parents, when our kids get older, we need to pull...
There it is. Emotional response.
Oh, emotional... Okay. But anyway, as parents, when our kids get older, we need to pull back and become coaches and teachers, still loving our children as people, but giving them space to learn.
Whatever. I want my kids to buy houses right next to me.
So, just kind of talking about how you... Instead of playing the role of you provide for all their needs, now you're more of a, yeah, I like that, kind of like a coach or a teacher, where you're there and you love them and show them the love they need, but essentially they've gotten to a point where you've taught them what you feel is right and wrong.
Be free.
And now they need to make their choices, and you'll be there for them when they make good and wrong choices, but that they need to make their choices, and we need to kind of pull back.
Coach and cheerleader.
That's right. Coach and cheerleader. So.
And then it ends by saying, I like this. Stop trying to be a perfect parent.
That's right.
And be a good enough parent.
A good enough parent. That should be just the title of the episode.
I want that on a mug.
A good enough parent.
I'm a good enough parent. That's who right. takes care of their child and tries their best.
Which we always say on the show, right? We should get a gold star just for trying.
You're not perfect.
So
you are not perfect, but you're good enough.
That's right. So be a good enough parent and, you know, tackle those five things that we talked about tonight. And that's it. So thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should... get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way's not the only way. Find what works for you. You're doing a good enough job.
A good enough job. share your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're most active on Facebook. We'd love to chat with you there. You can email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. And most importantly, though, make sure you subscribe.
Review
our show on iTunes. And until next time...
Enjoy your circus.
You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.